So when Bob and Tony teed me up, the last time I got to talk was probably about 2.5 years ago. I said, you're only invited if you bring us good news. So I haven't been here in a while. But the fact that I am here means I'm really bringing good news. So WMATA is embarking. We can go to
never said it.
But it's a good entree. I haven't been here for a while. So WMATA is embarking. For those of you who live in the area, you've probably been subject to some of our issues with our capital reinvestment program. We've got a $5 billion capital program to put in new safety improvements, security improvements, new rail cars, rebuilding stations, and we are rebuilding our fare collection system. So it's all part of this broader fabric. Be patient with us. It's going to take a while to rebuild, as it always does. Restoration of work is far less efficient than building new. So we've got that we're dealing with. But when we dealt with our fare collection system, there were a couple of fundamentals that we were looking at. We wanted the system, quite candidly, to be easy to use. What we've got today, while it's extraordinarily effective by modern standards, it's not easy. We force you to convert your money into transit money at our front door. That's really not the right thing to do. We wanted to be able to get a lot more payment options out, and I'll talk about that, because that's key to us to being able to take a variety of forms of fare media. We also wanted to talk about our system reliability, because quite candidly, the architecture of our system, it's an older system, and it's a highly specific transit application on a specific card, that all the intelligence happens between card and reader, and quite candidly, in our industry, everything is being pushed back to the central network so that it can be run. All the fare policy is done on a centralized basis instead of putting all the little cash registers to calculate your fare at the edge devices. Everything is now being moved back to the back end. Why is that being done? Well, comms now is second to none. We've got a remarkable redundant fiber optic network in our system, so transactions, back to Bob's point, stuff is really going to click and hum along very, very nicely. And then what also is important to us is we want to reduce the cost of our processing of fare media. The less that it costs us on the expense side of the ledger, the less we have to increase fares. We control costs. So quite honestly, we're hoping to be able to knock down our cost to collect from about 12% today to about 7% in the future. And you go, well, that's not too much. Well, when you multiply that against nominally $850, $900 million, suddenly that's real money. And that's year in, year out savings.
It's so now exiting.
Next page. So a couple of years ago, we had very, very carefully outlined the scope of services that we had wanted to be able to do. And we said, okay, we got to get a new central data system. We want to build this thing in a robust, future-proof fashion, or as future-proof as you can possibly get with computer hardware today. We wanted new ticket vending machines, new gates, new targets on board our buses. We wanted to update and really improve our website and our customer interfaces, because they need a little bit of work too. So we've got a new look and touch and feel coming to you guys very, very shortly. The old classic Metro Brown is going to be replaced by a lot of stainless steel in the system. So you'll see stainless steel fare gates, stainless steel ticket vending machines. Interfaces from, in our ticket vending machines that were designed in the 80s and still functioning today, fully functional, but hard to see. It's okay for everybody who uses it on a daily basis, but in April and October, when our tourist community comes up, you usually have queues of 20 and 30 people going, what's on those three lines? So the idea is big, nice, touchscreen displays. Make it easy to be able to buy a fare, understand what the fare structure is, know where you need to go from start to finish. When we look at options, there are some things that we just can't shy away from, because we're in the public transit business. We have to be able to accept and process cash, so that's not a problem. We'll take the next generation of our smart trip cards, but really where we're opening up is in the following four areas, where we're hoping to be able to take contactless prepaid cards, sort of the American Express serves of the world, to put in a little bit of a plug for those guys. The really the important thing, and the reason that I'm here, and the reason that Bob's here, and the reason that we work together really well, and importantly, is that we want to be able to take the CAC PIV card in our system for fare payment and link that up to the accounts. That represents 40%, north of 40% of our peak period ridership. So that's huge to us. That means that all we have to do is just manage an account in the back end. We don't have to issue and process fare media. One of our, you know, one of the things that drives us up to that 12% cost to collect is we're an issuer. We're just like a bank. We manage accounts. We own customers. And at the end of the day, we're like, no, all we really need is to be able to get a payment against an account and get paid for it. We don't need to own you from Ziggle to Zatch. Contactless bank cards, as those get issues, all the PayPass, PayWave, and all of that will be accepted. And of course, NFC devices. And it sounds like where everybody's headed, we'll either be able to use a PACTive card or a derived credential off an NFC phone. So that's key to us. Next page, please. So here's the good news that I bring. And Accenture was successful in being able to go through our lengthy procurement process. As people have said, well, why did it take you so long? I said, well, it's an odyssey. It's not a commute. Any of those of you who are on the public procurement side know, in order to be able to get what you want and what you need at the end of the day, sometimes you got to ziggle and zag. And we did. And I believe that we've got a truly cutting-edge kind of program. The award value that you see is for our pilot design, build, and install, and this is just for the WMATA system. This system also is going to, there are options within the contract structure, so this will embrace not only WMATA, but all of our regional partners. So if you're taking Mark from Point of Rocks, Maryland, or Martinsburg, West Virginia in, and from north of Baltimore coming in, and Fredericksburg, if you're taking the VRE from the south, all of this technology is all going to interlink. So finally, you'll have a seamless system from Ziggle to Zatch. So we just, you know, keeping with what Tony says, don't come unless you get good news. I believe this is probably the first meeting of the year. So we're now reporting back. You know, we did our award in January. Everything's fine. We're on track. We've issued our notice to proceed back in February. So we're now going through that heavy design phase, and we're standing things up slowly but surely. So one of the things that's really key to us is being able to prove this. And so we've got an extensive pilot phase that we're actually going to design, develop, and deploy. And a couple of key things. Bob talked about transaction speed. Well, that brings us down to our success criteria. So we've got a transaction speed is critical, and we're holding Accenture's feet to the fire. 300 milliseconds to have a literally card presented, affirmative action happen in the gate, and stuff open. So that is lightning fast for us. But it's a requirement because we don't want to have any queuing issues at our gate. We're using 500 milliseconds on board our buses for a transaction speed because of the human factors. You can tolerate that very nicely, and that's all going to go out over a cellular system. You know, we're going to hold Accenture for, you know, all of our data, the revenue collection. So when Bob rides a system, the dollar that the system reports, we actually collect, and all of that reconciles in the back end. But fundamentally, to test everything from Ziggle to Zatch. The pilot test itself, 10 mezzanines, 10 of our rail station mezzanines, 50 of our branded bus service routes that go around the system. We'll do a couple of parking facilities. We're going to have 2,000 riders use this, and we are working in another venue to be able to encourage and cajole and get some federal participants to be able to participate in this pilot program and work with us, because this is really going to be key to success. So could I go next one? So to give you a nominal idea in terms of where we are, we've got about 14 mezzanines throughout the system that we're actually equipping, and we're doing infrastructure work currently. But the ones with the stars are really the ones that will be equipped from the get-go. And you'll notice places like Pentagon City, Pentagon, Ballston, Shady Grove, Farragut West, Gallery Place, Chinatown, Union Station, Suitland, Navy Yard. All of these are very important stations to us because they're kind of rational commuting pairs, and they have a very heavy federal footprint in them. Next thing. So when we talk about our pilot, you know, we're testing the fare gates, we're testing onboard targets, and we're testing the parking validators. But when we get to full onboard deployment, and that's going to take us a couple of years, when we talk about the pilot in context of its schedule, We're doing design development on it right now. You'll probably see equipment in the field, in the rail system, probably in the fourth quarter, late third, early fourth quarter of this calendar year. Our pilot test is right now scheduled to run January through June of next year, and then predicated on successful outcome, and we're working with Accenture as partners on this to ensure success. Predicated on success of the pilot program and achievement of the success criteria, we will then issue the notice to proceed for full system deployment. And that's going to take a couple of years. So really we're looking, you know, by the time it's all said and done, 3 to 4 years of work that's going to happen.
But your pilot is going to start when, and what are you shooting for?
Q1, Q2 of calendar 15.
And you want federal participants in that?
Got to. Absolutely.
It's
yes.
Now activated.
Okay. So you know, you guys, the federal sector represents 40% of our peak period riders. We have to have a whole bunch of people from a whole bunch of different sectors. So if we could have 40% of nominally 2,000, that's not a bad place to be. And we want stuff to work because what we're looking for is real world kind of activities and people whose commuting patterns match up with this.
Yeah. So, Greg, I know you're doing the local area and a couple other things. Mm-hmm. Are you also working with the other transit authorities throughout the country to standardize?
Yeah, because PIP and CAC are like...
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So one of the wonderful things is that you probably saw on Bob's list, if you took a look at the fine print on his transit bubble there on his last mobile slide. So as the transit agencies migrate from their proprietary on-card solutions to these non-proprietary open standard, all the brains on the back end systems, these are the standards that we're embracing, so we can accept your card. You don't have to change anything on yours, which is really important. So Salt Lake City, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Chicago, and New York are the ones we're making the shift. New York is going to get in the procurement phase to be able to do their shift. So the answer is yes. We're all adopting the same kind of technology. Is it a standard like you guys use in your parlance? No, but we're reacting to you guys and specifically put in our RFPs that says we have to be able to accept and process a PIP and CAC card securely.
Because we have through the Department of Transportation, we have the benefits that are part of our card, but they also have a PERS of some kind, and coordination there.
Oh, it's absolutely pivotal, actually. No pun intended on that side. And you know, we're the really great thing about this, Bob and I kind of go back and we tell some interesting stories about a distinguished Senator Carl Levin. We sat at a hearing many, many years ago when transit benefits were still done on magstripe cards and there was a fair degree of fraud in the system. And he said, you know, I've got better places to waste a couple $100 million a year if there's so much fraud going on. This finally kind of closes that last loop. So the person who gets the benefits electronically in their account is now going to be the one that we can verify is actually using the card from end to end. So this closes that last loop, and that's important to us.
Is now joining.
Unique to his system, he's got a smart benefits program, and our Washington headquarters service connected with them about 2 years ago in a project that we jointly put together. And that particular project for the Department of Defense, just for DOD alone, saved us $19.5 million a year. And there's an awful lot of other agencies who could do the same if they had a Washington headquarters service. Some of them may have something similar to that. That's where TransServe comes in.
Yeah, but the common thread now, Bob, can be WMATA. But I mean, if you want to use this area,
yeah, WMATA, it's how you interface to them.
Exactly.
But their particular program, what didn't happen before is that the transit benefits were issued, but they were never kept track of. So what people didn't use them, they just stacked up on the dresser, and they may have $3,000-$4,000 and they slug in and keep that stuff, the money for themselves, or the benefit for themselves, if you will. This program eliminated that right off the bat. And it can do the same in any of the other metro areas. Also, Dallas is looking at it, and we spent a lot of time in Boston the same way. And Boston is not far behind. So what we did for a year and a half when we traveled around the country was to make sure that just the question you ask, is everybody going to be on board? Because if it's not, then this is a one-shot deal. And that's not the case. So we spent time in New York at the Jacob Javis Building and all sorts of things, looking at the Lex Line for people who would, government people who would, you know, ride the line down to Jacob Javits. We went in the several cities and did the same thing. So that's what's behind it right now.
Yeah, well, I'm concerned about the card and issuing of the card.
Right.
Right. And I want that to be consistent throughout all of the agencies and state and locals too, if they want to use the same thing. But mm-hmm. we need to have something that's pretty consistent that we can use.
Right.
That's why.
Yeah. Can systems recognize or separate the government traveler who is getting transportation dollars for commuting that transportation wants back at the end of the month, separate that from a person's personal dollars for personal travel, or do you need separate cards for that?
Well, that's still to be determined. I mean, there's some design pieces to that.
Right.
One design piece is that you may have the capability with a connection to your own account as a federal person or federal traveler, if you will, in your own metro area, it would be a closed loop direct interface because that's the only place you can use transfer benefits is locally. Uh-huh. But you also could have an EFT account other than that on the card. And like, for example, I'll throw out EMV2, Europay, MasterCard, and Visa 2. Which is Visa right now is ready almost to introduce. And we're looking at that for our DOD government travel card. So that's one of the things that we're going to look at doing. I would like to migrate from the government travel card to the CAC. So there may be an interim step in that regard until we can get enough merchants around the country to make this work. But that's the game plan.
So, just to be clear, so conceptually you're shifting from having a purse database on any kind of card, eliminating that completely from the picture.
Back in.
Mm-hmm. The only thing any of these cards are used for is the token credential, right?
It's a pointer.
Right. So, nothing new to the PIV that we have today, right?
No. That's the beauty of it.
No writing back to the card.
No, well, I would disagree with that based on the conversations I've had with transportation. There may be a need to have another applet that can be used on the card for depending on the scenario. So, but we want to have the EMV piece of it available as well as the attachment. I was saying that we may have to modify the card and have an applet available for the card so that people can use it depending on which transit authority they're dealing with, we want to have EMV on the card, so that takes care of one scenario.
Yeah, we really haven't talked that through right. yet. That meeting has to occur with Transurf to do that.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Any further questions?
Yeah, let me. I think there may be one or two points, but I think we probably are there. No, I've already talked about the pilot and the phases. We can do that in the record, and that's it. Super. Thanks.
Great.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for the good news. We're asking about the silver
line.
Sorry,
we're out of time. No.
Check the MWA website. How about that?
I will say that Friday will be one of our first major sit-down meetings with WHS. And so that's to start to talk about us being woven into the design phase. So this is not pie in the sky. This is real.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you.